people try to tell you, oh, I'm going to go the Monday route and play a bunch of Mondays because I don't have status somewhere. And then if I catch lightning in a bottle, like I'm going to do this. And like, that's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't, don't waste your time. Second stage, there's less sites. People always say it's the most important one. And it kind of is, because if you get through second stage and you make it to finals, you've secured status on the Korn Ferry Tour for the coming season. Any Q school week is kind of stressful. You just have a lot going on in your mind. You're thinking about this event and you put so much into it.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
All right, boys. We'll talk a little Q school today, because Andrew just got back. Well, not just got back, but he caddied for our boy Siegel in Q school this year, and we got a lot of listeners that are in that like high school, college, maybe starting to take the next leap and a little higher level golfers. You made it through Q school, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick before we like get going, can you just give us a Q school 101? Like how the hell this whole thing works and like why everybody tries to, you know, go play, get through, like, is it the best opportunity to kind of make it to the next level for pretty much anybody that wants to pay the money to go do it?
100%. Yeah. I mean, some people try to tell you, oh, I'm going to go the Monday route and play a bunch of Mondays because I don't have status somewhere. And then if I catch lightning in a bottle, like I'm going to do this, and like that's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't waste your time. But Q school is certainly the best way to kind of get your career started, and it's really 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 important part of your career. So I mean, every tour has tour that's, you know, PGA Tour sanctioned. So you have now, it used to be PGA Tour Canada, PGA Tour Latin America. That's now combined. It's just called the PGA Tour Americas. And then you have Korn Ferry Tour. You have PGA Tour. You have the DP World Tour. They have Q School. Asian Tour has a Q School. Mm. Japan Tour has a Q School. All of them are, it's the same idea, but some have different stages, different people to get through. But here in the U.S., Korn Ferry Tour School. So if you've decided that you want to do this, if you've never played Q School, and let's say you were signing up, you wanted to go play Q school.
Sick.
There's a few different like prerequisites, but you could sign up and go to Q school. They'll send you to what's called pre-qualifying. So that's before first stage. It weeds out all the guys that just spent $5,000 to go play Q school.
Yeah.
Usually pre-Q, very easy to get through relatively compared to the rest of the stages. I mean, sometimes like over par is...
And does everybody have to play in it? Like in order for you to, unless you had...
It used to be, yes. Now, the only difference is some of the guys, if you were like top 25 in the World Amateur Golf Rankings or top 50 maybe, you might have been exempt to first stage.
Okay.
But pretty much everyone went to pre-Q.
Mm-hmm. So like, for example, Siegel went to pre-Q and got
at
through.
At some point. Yeah. But then once you get through pre-Q, if you finish like top 30 or 50 or something at first stage... You're exempt to first stage next year. And if you get through first stage, you're exempt to first stage for like 3 years.
Oh, wow.
So like you don't have to, because it's just kind of a waste of time. The pre-Q is a waste of time if you've already gotten through and you've gotten through first stage. But
which in the long term kind of matters. It's like just get rid of something that you like don't have to, even if it's easy.
Yeah, time,
like,
money, the whole thing.
It's a mess because pre-Q is kind of at the tail end of like the summer. And so there might be some stuff that you want to play where you can go make money. And then instead, I have to go to some place and play pre-Q, and it's kind of a pain in the butt. So if you start at first stage, though, there's going to be maybe 12 sites across the country. So it's usually just regional. You know, you'll have south, west, like east coast, and then some in the Midwest maybe. Give or take 80 to 100 players, and then it's just a percentage of the field that gets to the next stage. So if you have, let's call it 3,000 people that signed up for Q school, you're divvied out to these different locations. You play, it might be the top 18 in ties that go from first stage to second stage. So first stage of Q school is just going to be 72 hole tournament, 4 days, no cut, you play. Second stage, there's less sites, and arguably people always say it's the most important one, and it kind of is, because if you get through second stage and you make it to finals, you've secured status on the Korn Ferry Tour for the coming season.
By getting through second stage, yes, you get Korn Ferry status.
You haven't secured starts, but you've secured status. Now, that's kind of helpful because you then are eligible for like health insurance through the PGA Tour because you're part of the tour. There's some benefits to that that are great. Another thing that would be really helpful is for a lot of guys is the PGA Tour owns or is partnered with all the TPC courses. You're then a member of every TPC.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So then you can go practice at TPCs. Yeah. And so like there's a few benefits that are really helpful.
Does it get you through, like you don't have to do pre-Qs for the Mondays then for PGA Tour, which is like big for
travel.
That's
another thing
money.
Too. So if you have
You don't have to do the pre-qualifying to get into Monday qualifiers?
Yeah, so like on Monday qualifiers on the PGA Tour, they'll have like a pre-qualifier on like the Thursday the week before. So let's say you're in Minnesota and you're like, oh, I want to go do the Monday in North Carolina. It's like, okay, well, I got to go like for a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you can just plan to go to Mondays, it's like you can actually schedule that out. And
that matters really a lot. Beneficial too. It doesn't matter anymore because they got rid of Mondays.
I know. But
so,
they got rid of Mondays?
Yeah.
All right. We need to talk about that after.
That's terrible.
We're going to talk about that after. That is terrible.
Getting through second stage is important. Now, again, I think it's like five or six sites. And then this is where it starts to get like significantly harder, in my opinion, because there's guys that lost their card on the Korn Ferry Tour that then are exempt to second stage, right? So then when you show up to second stage, you have guys that just played a full season on the Korn Ferry Tour that might have finished 100th in the money list, right? Or 105, whatever it is. They're at second stage. I've played second stage with guys that have won on the PGA Tour, right? They lost their card, and then this is their way that they can potentially get back. They're exempt. So you start getting pool of players that's just
really good,
very capable.
Yeah,
you got five sites. And at this point, everyone, typically, once you've played it once or twice, you know where you want to go, what course you want to play, and you pick. So, like, I always went to a place in Alabama. I really liked that one. It kind of fit my game. And that's where I would play. And then, you get through second stage. It's, like, the same thing. It's 70 to 100 guys, give or take, depending on the site. And then the same thing. It's a percentage. It's, like, 18 in ties. Advance to finals. So then when you get to finals, then again, the field gets stronger. Then you have guys that maybe are exempt to final stage because of their world ranking, because of what they did on the Japan tour or Asian tour or wherever they were playing. There's going to be certain exemption categories to get there. That one's different. There's maybe 150 guys. 170, like it's a pretty big field. And then the last time at finals, I want to say it's the top 40 got starts. And so it was broken down to where, like, if you won Q school, you were full status for the entire year. And let's say 2 through 10 might have been through X amount of number of reshuffles. And then 11 through 20 was X number of reshuffles. And then 21 to 40 was like, you got the first four events.
Okay.
And then everyone else, based on where you finished, so if you just think about 1 through 156, that's your number. So if you ever hear anyone talk about like, oh, I was two spots out this week, think about it as if I'm number 73, you're number 40, and you were 160, and 156 guys are in the field that week, he would be four spots out.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Right? Yep. And then let's say I wanted to take a week off. I'd be out, everyone would shift one.
Shuffle up, yeah.
And then that list, that number list, changes every 4 weeks based on the points. So guys are moving up and down the points list, so then your priority is different. Now, there's also guys that have, there's all these different categories, but let's say you kept your card from the previous year on the Korn Ferry Tour and you've secured full status, you're playing all year, so your number might be different than the guys from Q School. But that's essentially how it works. So yeah, I went and it was a little bit different this year being on the other side of the bag.
On the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was certainly a lot less stressful than when you're there playing, because the whole week, any Q school week is kind of stressful. You just have a lot going on in your mind. You're thinking about this event and you put so much into it, right? You care so much about trying to play well this specific week. And I think that, you know, the buildup leading up to it is kind of a lot. And then you're there and you kind of feel almost more comfortable because you're not, you're just doing instead of thinking. But it's a long week in the sense of you sit in your hotel room and you're thinking about the result and what I need to do the next day and how it's going to play out. And I don't know, that's like kind of the best part about golf is playing quality golf when it matters. And you have this thing that you want to do well in. And then when you go perform, it is the greatest feeling. But we don't do that very often. And so then it's kind of really disappointing too.
And you have to wait a year to try it again.
Yeah.
And you paid the exact same process you just did.
Yeah. Pretty much, and you paid $6,000 or $7,000 to do it all.
Yeah.
So heck of a deal.
Hmm. When your whole year is based around that.
Like your whole year. Because the next season, if you don't have status, you're just going to go like grind it out and play mini tour stuff and state opens and try to Monday into something and turn it into a positive year. But, you know, if you played terrible all season and then kind of got some stuff going and played nice through Q school, you would call it a successful year.
Right.
Whereas you could win every single mini tour event and make all like you know, a bunch of money and then not get through Q school, and it's a waste.
Really?
Yeah, you just hit the same spot.
Because you didn't get anywhere.
There's no advancement.
Yeah. Like, you might be a great player, but like I can't advance my career.
How many times did you play in Q school till you got through? Or try to do, like, what was your couple of years?
So I did, the first year I went to Q school was 2017, got through first stage, missed it second. Then the next year I withdrew at first stage. I was like sick. So that kind of stunk. Then 2019, I went to Canadian tour school at the start of the year and I won Q school that year. And so then I played Canada all summer. I went to Korn Ferry Tour School that fall. I missed finals by a shot. And I literally had the leaderboard screenshot as my screensaver, one shot off for like a year because it made me want to go.
It wasn't because of divot, right?
It wasn't because of a divot. No, it was so lame. Like, I mean, I still can think about 15, 16, 17, 18 at like the Robert Trent Jones course in Mobile or Dothan. It's in Dothan. Mobile is where I'd play first stage. Dothan is where I did second stage. And I can think about those holes and like what it felt like and what I did. And the cool thing is that, so then we had COVID, they didn't have Q school. And then the next year, 21,
COVID was 20. Assuming they played, I don't know.
So 21, what did I do? I got through Q school and then I guess I missed because I got through Q school in 22. But coming down the stretch at the same golf course, I missed by one. Same thing, 15, 16, 17, 18. I was playing with Frankie Sappen. And this is actually kind of fun.
A young Frankie Sappen.
A young Frankie. But we were coming down the stretch, and the final day is always when everyone's in contention to get through. It's kind of weird because you are kind of cheering for your group.
Yeah.
You want everyone to play well and get through and like have good vibes because like you're super focused on what you're doing. But like, everyone knows if you're playing in a group and everyone's playing well, like it kind of feels better than if a couple guys are ejecting.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, and the complexity of the goal. Is like
it doesn't matter if you win or you finish 10th or if you finish T18.
Yeah.
Like you got through.
Yeah.
It's the same result. And so we were all playing pretty well. And I'm standing on 15. I missed a birdie putt. And then I remember walking down 16 and I was like, I did this and I missed by one. And if I don't make a birdie coming down the stretch, I was one out. So I needed to make a birdie to get through. And I was like, if I don't make birdie, like I'm quitting. Like this, I'm never doing this again.
I'm done.
Like I hate this. This is so bad. Right. And then the next hole on 17, I hit one in there, maybe like 12 feet, and I made it. And I was like, I'm the best to ever play this game. You know, like the level of roller coaster.
I'm him.
Yeah. No, it goes from like, I'm never playing this game again. Yeah. To like, I literally am prime tiger. But we all got through, and it was like so exciting. And it was like the fastest 8-hour drive home ever, because you're on the, like, people are calling you, congratulating you, and it just goes like that. And it was super fun. So it's just hard. Like, you have so much expectation and so much kind of internal pressure that you put on this event, and you want to do well. And so
it's kind of interesting too, because like, you play all these events like trying to win, and not that you're not trying to win Q School, but to your point, it's like, it's a way more intense, like trying to make a cut, right? Like if you're trying to make a cut on tour, but the cut was like 15 under, it's like, I'm not like, winning's awesome. Like, but you're just not like,
You can have the same, you can achieve the same thing as the guy that shot 20 under being the guy that shot 7 under.
Yeah. Like, so it's fine. Like, it's just that's complicated. It's a right weird... in yourself, where you're like trying to win, trying to beat everyone, where now it's like, this is such a career advancement more than like, ego, I'm winning or I get this paycheck.
And like, for guys that are, you know, doing this, like, I'm sure there's not a secret recipe, right? But how long do you generally try and do it, right? Like, I mean, in most sports, you would say, you know, for like college athletes after college, if they don't get drafted, you know, maybe they try a year and go do some like mini camp stuff or whatever it might be. And then you kind of like, you know, see your fate. But like, golf is, again, one of those sports where, you know, like, you get these stories, and we'll talk about Monday Q's in a little bit, but like, the 30-year-old guy that can like make it, or like, you know, what is the trajectory of, you know, most guys play high school and then college golf, and they go and start on this journey. Is it like, you know, a 3-year runway? Everyone's different, but like, what is it?
It depends a lot on your like, financial situation.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's money.
So, because it's expensive to do, and like, playing golf, professional golf, when you turn pro is it's a big financial burden. So typically people either have a family situation where their family can help them out and support them to go play, or they've either fundraised stuff for themselves and they've had some sponsors and guys from the club or people that they know that want to help out.
Yeah, like, when I tried for a little bit, obviously I was teaching and never like went fully at it, but when I was like in a try, like, I had to sell shares of myself.
Oh, people. Sure.
Like, that's kind of how I did
on
it.
On Kalshi?
Yeah, it's like, But like, to his points, like, you just have to be really creative at figuring it out. And then the hardest part is, you'll get the money, and then let's say you get to a certain age, and now it's like, it's about the money, but it's also about like, I don't know, every person's different of what kind of life they want to live. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about like, oh, I'm going to go to Q School until I'm like 35 and I'm getting through this thing, it's like, yeah, but there's a lot of sacrifice in that too.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a certain age where you start thinking about it. You're like, oh, like, this feels a little different than when I first started and really wanted this. And it's like, maybe I want some things.
Yeah. I would say probably like 3 to 6 years.
Oh, wow. So it's a decent runway.
Like, I think that there's some people that have a very predetermined, I'm going to do this a couple times or once. But I think the people that say, I'm going to do it once, already know that like, it's probably not gonna, right. I feel like that's rare.
Sure.
In my, like, I don't know how many guys have been like, I'm going to try this once, and then they got through, and then, oh, actually now I play professional golf. Yeah. I think a lot of the guys are, I'm going to try it, kind of assume it's not going to happen, and they just want to say that like, oh, I gave it a shot.
Yeah. I tried it. Had a you know, fun year of my life trying doing this.
I think it's usually guys get better over the course of a year, go to Q School and miss, and they go, now I know what to expect. I can do this. And then the next year you see more improvement, and it doesn't have to be like major, but they might be, oh, I played a little bit better in a few of these events. I think I can do this. And maybe the result at Q School is slightly better than the year before. It's this like carrot in front of you that you kind of keep chasing. And so it does require, I don't know, like a little bit of self-reflection to decide what's important to you, because you could just keep going and going and going. So,
right.
For example, at Q School,
yeah, they'll take your money.
Right? Yeah, 100%. No, I mean, there was guys at Q School this year that I know from the first time I started playing professional golf, right?
Yeah.
So like, see them. And then like the last day at Q School, we're paired with Jeff Overton.
don't know who that is.
Jeff Overton. You should pull the clip up. Famous. Him and Bubba Watson Ryder Cup. He holds one from the fairway and gives the greatest boom baby you have ever seen. It is iconic.
Yeah. And just the way he is, too. It's like just matches.
But Jeff Overton's at second stage Q school. Now, granted, he's got major medical from the tour and whatever. Yeah. But there's guys that are...
Most impressive players have paid him this far, especially on the green, where he's just made a number of long putts. And how about that for an approach?
Boom, baby! Boom, baby! Come
on! And then watch Bubba. It gets better. Bubba goes crazy.
What is this in?
The Ryder Cup.
Come on, baby!
Yeah.
I kind of missed that, like, Eric, those guys.
That wins the hole.
How good is that?
That's good.
So, but you
it's
get
a phenomenal
this, like,
clip.
You get this like wide range of guys, kids that are fresh out of college. This is their first time doing it. And then you have guys that have been grinding it out, or maybe they had Korn Ferry status for a couple years, or they played on the PGA Tour and they've had kind of up and down. So I don't know. It's just, it's part of the journey.
I mean, like experience, like having experience for that is so much different than anything else. Like just the whole, like what you're saying is you're waiting for it for a year. What to expect. Like, I think, I do think people that are really good go the first year and get kind of like punched in the face a lot of times, just not from a skill perspective, not like, are you capable, but they like think it's like just another tournament. And it's like, you're kind of lying to yourself.
Yeah.
And I know, like, with Carson this year, you know, it's like he went for his first times and it's like, whoa, this is like a little different. This wasn't like, he just got Asian Tour status. And you're like, that wasn't really like part of the plan. You know, but you're like, you're just trying to get your opportunity. You're like figuring this all out. It's like, well, that didn't go how I thought. It's like, that doesn't necessarily mean you like, well, it definitely doesn't mean you failed, because to his point, it's like, you go the first time, you need to like figure this all out. Like, it's way more complex than just like going to a tournament.
Yeah. So what the hell happened to Mondays? Why are we getting rid of Mondays? It's like the best thing in golf.
Because elevated events.
So aren't there like seven of them now, but like only like two guys get in
In a Monday?
I could be wrong with the seven, but I know there's like a handful or whatever, but like only two guys get in. So now just imagine all the people doing it.
Yeah.
It's going to be absurd.
I just, so, you know, I have, when I say I, very little experience with Monday qualifiers, but I'm not a professional golfer. I think this was 2 years ago. Siegel was trying to Monday for the 3M. He was like, hey, you want to be in my bag for the Monday? Like, I don't need like, don't do much, right? Like, if I ask you a question, answer it, carry my bag, good vibes. I'm like, yeah, dude, this will be great. Like, this will be fun to experience. We got paired with Robert Garrigus, which was super fun. And I just remember, like, Siegel birdied one. He ended up, you know, not getting there. I think it took, I don't know, minus four or five. But, like, Jack Ebner was there, and he had gotten to a playoff. And, like, it was just so cool, like seeing, you can see like camaraderie with everybody there, like between the caddies and the players. McCain, you were there. Ross Miller was there. I could tell, like, all of a sudden, like Jack Ebner, and it came down to like this big playoff, and like everybody sticks around and watches. And like, it was so cool when it was a, I don't know, maybe like a 6-for-3 or 6-for-2 or something like that. And like watching the playoff holes, and like it was just really sweet. And I was like, man, this is a really cool, unique thing that I know there's the Monday Q guy on Twitter, but a really unique thing that you just don't see in a lot of other sports. And even just like kind of sitting there being a caddy and like just liking, for watching what was going on, I was like, this is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I wish that this got more play into, you know, how it plays into, somebody gets like, to go play a PGA Tour event that week.
Yeah. It's like, I know I did like, I've done like a handful of them, and I was like coming down the stretch for the John Deere one time, like with a chance, you know, and it's like, it kind of made me feel like a kid again in the way of like, oh, this is sweet. I'm actually like in my mid-20s, late 20s, but I like feel like I'm 15 again. Like, oh my gosh, like that moment, to your point, you see all these people that understand that stick around. Cause it's like, everyone has had that thought.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's cool.
Yeah. So, okay. I just found the article. they've reduced the number. So there's still some Mondays.
Okay.
But the basically, and this there's truth to this. It's disappointing because it's fun to have an opportunity and be able to do it. And like, I don't know, I'm thankful for Monday qualifiers because I got to go play on the PGA Tour a couple times. And like, that was really cool. But do you know who the last person to win the PGA Tour event after they Monday qualified was?
Was it Corey Connors?
Yeah. Yeah. And did you know that he already had a top 10 that year and he had PGA Tour status?
Yeah. And he had a Monday Q.
So, he wasn't like the typical,
he had a Monday Q to get in, still kind
of
funny.
So, but the point of saying that is that the idea of Mondaying in and then winning or getting your card is great. It's not possible.
Right.
The guys
highly
that do
unlikely,
it
yeah.
already have status, already have been playing on the PGA Tour. So the idea behind this is like with restricted field sizes coming up, they're giving more opportunities to members to play instead of, because like historically it's like whatever, 30% of the guys at Monday in that don't have status make a cut. Yeah. And then from there, it's like, okay, you made a cut and you got whatever amount of money and then that's it. And like that might be the end of it. So I understand it. It's kind of a bummer because it's a really unique thing. I mean, imagine if there was like a Monday qualifier for the NHL.
Yeah, I know.
Like, oh, you show up to practice and like you had kind of a nice skate and then next thing you know, you're just like playing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the easiest thing you could relate it to would probably be like tennis, right? Because you're trying to get into a tournament where there's, it's almost like, maybe not match play style stuff, but you know, like a tournament with a big field. Like you can't just like Monday into making an NHL team. Like, that's not
we should do Mondays thing, for kickers.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean,
I always thought Live Mondays would have been hilarious, but you had to like bring a squad.
Oh, that'd be sick. And then you just make $1 million.
Yeah, you just.
But imagine us like going over to play like a Live qual, and it's like four of us as a team.
That'd be sick.
I think it would be cool eventually. This just seems like the trajectory golf is going. There's going to be some type of like, I'll call it YouTube golf league. And I don't know what it's going to consist of. I don't know. I'm sure people are thinking about it some way, shape, or form, or how. But that would be really cool if like you found a way to do a league like that, and then you set certain parameters around like how people can get into the tournaments. Maybe they just do like one tournament a month or something. But like, dude, those get a lot of viewership, and like people follow it. And again, I don't know exactly how it would work. I'm just like spitballing an idea, but there, like that would be a really cool thing to do and like give, because ultimately people are playing to like compete and make money, right? And like you can make money in these like social media type of like this world that we're going into.
Wasn't that, what did the guys win at the Barstool thing?
It's like $1 million four ways. Is that right?
That's, I can't remember. I mean, that's a big ton purse. Of money.
Wasn't that the first one?
Yeah, it was the first one. And no,
that's a ton of money
Yeah, but like Portnoy's putting up the, but like I'm sure the views they got from it were a lot too. So I just think there is a way that it just feels like golf is going that way, that there'll be some type of like social media tour or something in the future.
Oh gosh, we're gonna be Monday qualifying for like social media.
Can you imagine? Logo? We'd be a good three ball, and by we I mean like you two and I'm like there for the vibes.
The Calci Open.
Yeah, then people can bet on it.
That'd be sick.
Phenomenal. And then Fantasia will put out some good insights.
There you go.
Here we go, boys. We're quitting. No, since I am, it does make sense on the Monday Q stuff. I'll never forget that Monday. I went just to even caddy for Siegel and just like see how special and cool that was. Like, I see why it's addicting.
It's super. I mean, it is fun. And like, you know, when you're playing and when you have a chance, like, it's hard not to let your mind wander and you think about like what it's going to be like and what's happening. And so that's pretty fun. And there's so much, especially if you haven't done it or played, like there's so much unknown. The thing that's funny is when you get in, they literally give you like, they're like, okay, good job. Here's a pamphlet. And it's like, okay, now what?
Good luck.
Like, what do I do?
Yeah, sweet.
I didn't even know. I'm like, I don't know how to get to the parking lot. Like, what am I supposed to do? And then you're like trying to figure out where player registration is and like how it all works. And, you know,
I think it's interesting, like from the tour's perspective, like I'm curious, like how much money they made off of like Mondays and all that.
So the tour,
getting rid of that.
It's actually more of a issue locally. The PGA Tour doesn't necessarily make anything off of it. the local sections do. So like the PGA of Minnesota, they host our Monday. So when they do the pre-queue, that's, I think it's what, is it $350 maybe?
$250, I think.
So I think maybe it's like $500 total. If you get through the pre-queue, you get to go play the Monday and then you pay like the rest of your entry fee for the Monday. So let's call it $500 total, I think is roughly what it is. Mm-hmm. It's another thing with having status. It's $150 for a Monday. If you don't have status, it's like $500. And if you have like America's status, it's like $300. It's just tiered. So anyways, the section collects that money. So the course that hosts it, so here, it's Victory Links right across from TPC Twin Cities. They host the pre-queue and the Monday. At the pre-queue, if you have, there's usually two pre-queues and they're usually pretty big. I don't know, let's say it's, you know, 100 or 120 people per thing.
Oh yeah, it was big.
At $250 a pop, the section can make some money in that. And then again, they make a few bucks on the actual Monday. So that's really helpful for, I don't know what they use it for, but it could be some junior golf thing in Minnesota. It could be a junior golf thing for the California PGA or whatever it is, right? And they use that for their own events and running their own sections.
Sure.
Like that's really a benefit. So some of the places that have multiple PGA Tour events in the state, so it could be, you know, Florida or a Texas or a California. If you were to lose those, like that could be a significant chunk of money that they've kind of consistently relied on that is no longer there. So like there is some benefit of Mondays for golf as a whole. But I do understand getting rid of them to an extent, you know, for certain events.
Sure.
But yeah, they're pretty cool. I mean, the stories are fun and it's always exciting to see. Like, I don't know. There's having, like, I guess, benefited from them. I like that they're there because I want people to have that opportunity to go experience. Like, how cool. It's actually probably the only sport where you can do that.
I think it is. I don't know any other ones.
Where you can go play at the highest level because of, you know, essentially one day. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes it different.
And even for, like, the players, one part, but, like, you also have, like, coaches, caddies, like their opportunity is the same, right? It's like you're doing that different part of the job, but it's like you got a player that goes and does it. And
let's go,
like,
try and do it, man.
Yeah, so, you know. So it's like,
let's go have a weekend.
Yeah.
So you did it as playing, like it was really fun for me to do it coaching, you know, like
and being there.
It's just to your point. It's like all the carrots that they dangled in front of you is like you're never actually that far away.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's like extremely hard. And like even getting through is like more for the experience. I mean, because, you know, like outside of Corey Connors, like your life's probably not going to change a bunch, but it's like,
to your point, you can let the mind wander.
Yeah. But that's part of it though. Like that's what's awesome is like you don't feel that far away and it's possible.
I think the greatest thing about it is that you get a taste of what you wanted and what you've dreamt of since you were probably relatively young, right? And you either leave with, like, you probably leave the event saying, I can do this, I want to do this, and this was a better experience than I ever could have imagined. And then you're just fired up to keep going. I think like the most disappointing thing for me is I got into the Honda and then the next week was Bay Hill and then they had COVID the week after that.
Oh,
and so then it was like
shut down.
A year. Yeah. I was like, I was so excited and so fired up. And then it was like, oh, actually, like, you can't leave your house.
Yeah.
And so, like, it kind of was like
just sitting in your mind, like, oh, the Honda was fun. Now I'm just like,
yeah, like that was fun. Netflix for 14 now hours. I'm trying to get masks. Yeah. Like, it was just, I don't know, kind of a weird thing. But if you can ride that momentum, it's a big deal.
Get hot and see what happens.
But I think that, I don't know. It's really a unique experience to be able to go do that. And so it is, certainly a bummer, but I think it makes sense.
Well, we'll sit here and we'll probably talk about the same thing next year. It'll be interesting to look at the stats from the Monday Q stuff now that it's limited. And shout out to Monday Q on Twitter. He was like one of the best follows in the world. Really good. I'm assuming he's still doing stuff out there. But
man, the really one that good. Does it is very different is Korn Ferry Tour Mondays.
Yeah,
there's a lot of success with guys that Monday in and then turn that into a good season. Sure.
Good
the
season.
The PGA Tour
the
is like it's
down.
Like a different and because the difference in the environment playing on the Korn Ferry Tour versus the PGA Tour, it's not even remotely comparable.
Right. Yeah,
it is. Like a Korn Ferry Tour event, you're lucky if your parents show up.
Yeah.
Right? You go play to the PGA Tour event and you're like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, well, certain events. I mean, I guess like, you know, Puerto Rico, maybe it's quieter. There's not like a ton of people there.
Sure,
but
sure.
If you go play, you know, the John Deere, people show up.
Yeah.
If you play the Honda, people show up. Like it's a big deal.
And to your point, like if you're playing well enough and you like Monday through a Korn Ferry and you know like the tournament people aren't going to be there. Like you're still just like playing golf, but like you Monday into a PGA Tour event and you're like, to your point, where am I parking? Like I have to go through, I'm not just like playing golf. I'm like, where am I parking? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Where are people like,
yeah.
Where should I walk? Like don't get in someone's way.
One of our next episodes, I'm going to have Jelly come back, John Ellis. And I honestly want to talk to him about like the behind the scenes of the tour. Like, we were talking about this one because, you know, he's got like an all access badge because he's Wyndham's caddy. But like, it's actually crazy when you like try and consider what they do on a day by day and like round by round, like the practice rounds. Like, okay. I just want to talk to him about like what that looks like literally every week, Wednesday through Sunday, because he talks about how, you know, a lot of people that work for the PGA Tour, like you see the same people every week. It's just like every other job. Like you see all the same people and then like all the venues change a little bit and like they all have their own little like, you know, the things that they have to do and kind of the status quo. And for them, it's just like another week somewhere. But like for the fans or guys at Monday and like everything is so new and different. And it's just, I really want to talk to them about it from that perspective. I think it's an interesting one.
Yeah. It's a traveling circus.
Yeah.
Is what it is. I mean, like even, so like in Canada, you have the same people. Well, in the Korn Ferry Tour, you become friends with the rules officials and the guys that are running the tour that are, you know, they have like the truck, right, that goes through and has all the scoring and all the, like, you know, little things that they need week to week. And then the actual host venue does a lot of work too. Now, the host venue, if you play the same event year over year, you kind of see some of the same people and volunteers and you can have some friends, but you just end up becoming friends with guys on the tour that you see every week that are doing, whether it's media or, you know, the course setup or whatever it is, like you become friends with these guys and you see them all the time. And it is like, it's kind of weird because you're just, it's like a deja vu. It's like I'm seeing the same person, but I'm somewhere else. And then I see the same people again. And I do the same thing in a different place.
Like the process is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly the same. You're just in a different place. And it's like,
I want to text him after this. And that's what I want to talk to him about. I could fill up a whole episode. Just like what the hell goes on behind the scenes. Yeah. Behind the scenes there. I'm going to be out at Waste Management this year again. I want to see if I can walk with them one of these rounds.
Yeah,
you should.
Be cool. Like the behind the actual behind the ropes experience, see what it's like from their perspective. Like, especially at the Waste, like I know it's just a normal, it's not an elevated event or anything, but there are a lot of people there, man. Like, I don't know if you guys have been, like, especially when you get in the stadium, dude, that is that's bigger than an NHL stadium. So 16.
Think about what I was saying. Like, you used to be able to Monday for that. So if you Monday into that, and you show up and you're standing there
on like the cut line on 16.
Dude, not even the cut line. You could start on 10 at 8 o'clock in the morning and you roll into that as like, this is your first event.
Yeah.
You are petrified.
Yeah.
Because nothing in your, I mean, even if like, I'm sure all the guys that even are veterans out there, they're like, when we walk in here, like you do get kind of amped up and like you have to really try to control your, and like they're comfortable everywhere else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're feeling it, like, can you
what
imagine?
Are you feeling?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know,
50 degrees, 40 yards over the green.
my big event was I finished, you know, fourth at the state open, and then now I'm at the 16th hole of Waste Management. Yeah. Like, that's such a different.
I've never felt my body like this ever, hitting a 9-iron.
Yeah, you're just numb.
That's what you live for.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a fun one. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You got it.